Pastor Love, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for allowing me to stand before this sacred desk on such an occasion as this. The celebratory moments with my sisters, Sister Jackie, and my heavenly sister, Sister Jean. It's been a blast. I could not have even imagined what was going to take place during this week, but God has shown up and shown out, and I've seen people that I hadn't got to hang around in a while. You know, Facebook is my friend, so I see your picture, but it's so much better to touch your hand. I would that you would forgive me in advance, because God gave me a word that I'm going to tell you it got me first. I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to throw that out there. So don't y'all be mad at me. I want you to continue to love me when I leave. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this preaching moment. We pray even now, Lord God, that you would move me out of your way, Father God. You stand before this desk, Father God, and do what only you can do, Father God. Preach the gospel through me, Father God. Use me as a conduit of your anointing, Father God. Move by your spirit in me, Father God. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. If you have it, say, I got it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. If you're in the Old Testament, it's not there. And it reads as follows. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, given you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abided in you. You may be seated. Anyone who knows me know I love to fish. I'm a city boy that had no interest in fishing. But I was invited to go fishing by a country friend of mine. I mean, a real country friend of mine. I mean, I would say he was country as all get out. I often recall how much it took to get me to the lake. He would harass me, literally. Hey, bro, you got your license yet? I said, yeah, I'm going to get him. Tomorrow, and a whole lot of more tomorrows. And after so much harassment, I finally said, okay, I got my license, but I don't know the rules. He said, don't worry about the rules, just get your license. I got my license. He said, okay, now that you got them, I'm gonna handle the rest of it, but I continued to run. Anybody been there before? I got my license, but I continued to run. And didn't want to go fishing. I watched it on television, but I didn't want to go. He said, I had my license, and I was qualified and legal, but I just sat at home again and didn't exercise the fact that I could do it. Finally, I went fishing, and the excitement was so much, it was beyond explanation. That's all I thought about day in and day out. I thought about fishing. Y'all listen, because I'm going somewhere with this. After a few sessions, I literally fell in love with fishing. And I ain't want to do nothing else but fish. We got some soldiers in here. And just happened at that time, I was in charge. I used to sneak away from work and go fishing on lunch. Because I wanted to learn the fundamentals of fishing. I began to catch all the fish I could catch. I mean, perch, middle, small fish, medium-sized fish, big fish, large fish, and great fish. I got it down now. I got it. We had so much fish, we didn't even have any place to put it in the freezer. I mean, I had got good. I filleted the fish like the store. I mean, I was good. I had arrived. But a few weeks ago, I'm a member of a combat veterans club, and they called me to go fishing. And I said, okay. I said, so what time is it? He said the 3rd of September, da, 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 da. I said, okay, cool. What are we fishing for? He said, alligator. I said, hold up. Hold up. And I thought to myself, I'm legal, I'm qualified, I'm knowledgeable, but maybe I don't have all I thought I had. For a few moments today, or a few whole minutes, I'm going to try to be living faith timeline. I'm going to try. I want to speak to you under the guidance of the Holy Spirit on this topic. There's levels to this life called ministry. There's levels to this life called ministry. The grass withers, the flower faded, but the word of God shall stand forever. Warren Risby wrote, God isn't in a hurry. It comes as a shock to some Christians, that God is more concerned about the worker than the work. He's more concerned about the worker than the work. In our text today, God speaks to children, young men, and fathers. The message does not necessarily present itself chronologically, but spiritually. Listen, your audio should match your video. Your ecclesiastical must match your domestic. Your life must match the who and the what you say that you are. Not in man, but in Christ. In this text, John was talking to a people that had been born again. But he needed to do an assessment of their spiritual progression. He simply asked the question, where are you in your spiritual growth? I would ask you to look at your neighbor, but you might get upset with me. So I'm going to say, do an internal thing. Ask yourself, where am I in my spiritual growth? As believers, we often key in on the basis of salvation. I'm saved and I'm satisfied. Anybody there? I'm saved. Some people would say sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You might be saved and sanctified and filled with something. Y'all put your own word in there now. Here he describes three different groups in the family of God. Children or infants, spiritual birth. Young men, spiritual growth. Fathers, spiritual maturity. One thing that we must understand in this text is the spiritual group that you're in is not predicated upon your age, how long you've been saved, how many years you've been on the praise team or singing in the choir or ushering and deaconing. It's based on your growth and your spiritual maturity. God wants to save us, however, it's not our final destination. When you got saved, that was not the end all be all. That was just the beginning. God wants you to grow and he wants you to mature. Now that's important enough for you to write down. We got a lot of grown folk in the church. And unfortunately, we got a lot of grown, immature folk in the church. Now, I'm not talking about Living Faith, so don't y'all get mad at me. I'm talking about that church back in Killeen that some of the mother folk go to. Growth is not simply working in the church, being there every time the doors open, being faithful to the building. Growth is being faithful to God and experiencing not man, but him. The only way that you can grow is you experience God. The question is, are you learning? Are you growing? Are you maturing? As Christians, we need to live our lives accountable. We need to recognize that strength is essential for growth. And growth's destination is maturity. Adversities will come, but we must be girded up and prepared for battle. Anybody read Ephesians chapter 6? Why do you think that's in there? He didn't say put a little bit of stuff of your armor on. He's put on the whole armor of God. Because the enemy is coming in. He's coming. That's why God set up a standard against him. But the enemy is coming. God allowed Joseph to be enslaved and in prison for 13 years. before evaluating him, elevating him to Egypt, the king of Egypt. Think about that. Over Egypt. He let Moses live in an exiled shepherd for 40 years. They both had a relationship with God. He anointed David king and then crafted his character in caves. David had a relationship with God. He tended to Elijah in isolation before positioning him face down to 450 prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, but he had a relationship with God. If you've been going through anything and you can't get out of it, check your relationship with God. He will allow you to go through some stuff, but he might let you stay there till you talk back to him. Now, I know you're talking at him, but talk back to him. And you can't talk back to him till you allow him to talk to you. James chapter 1, verse 4 says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Nothing. I think as Eugene Peterson wrote in the Message Bible, James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, he said, "You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into an open and shows its true colors." So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any of your ways. Anybody ever drunk tea? Did it come pre-made, or did you get your tea bags and put it in the water? See, your true colors come out when that hot water shows up. When things get a little rough in your life, then we tend to know who you really are. See, this life is compared to a race. I often misquote a scripture that a race is not given to the swift or the brave, but to him that endureth to the end. But it is a true statement. We're in a race, but the race is not against my opponent on this side. My race is against myself. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1b and 2a says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience." Don't get in no hurry. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Why are we going to do it? We're going to look to Jesus. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to have a relationship. Let him talk to you. And you just sit there and listen without telling him what he needs to do. I have 3 points, and I'm going to try to get out of your way quick as I can. Point number one is spiritual birth. Spiritual birth. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 and 13c reads, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father." Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake because you know the Father. Again, that's not your final destination. Unfortunately, many times, as soon as you get your license, you sign up for the race, and you say, "That's okay, that's it." But the question should be, but what's next? If you don't step out by faith, you'll be stuck in that same spot. You got your license, you qualified, you legal, but you're stuck in that same spot. So what's next? It's a sad commentary, but for so many Christians, there is no next. You've been saved since you was 11 years old. Now you're 57. And your greatest spiritual accomplishment was, "I gave my life to Christ." You're a grown adult, but still spiritually immature. You are still a babe in Christ and incapable of eating solid foods. You're still here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, so you may grow thereby." Let me read it in our terms. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, so that I can stay where I'm at." I'm good. I'm saved, and I'm not going to hell. Y'all ain't never heard that before? Maybe it's just me, some of them Christians that I talk to. But the text says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word so that you may grow thereby. Many lifetime Christians are still on Similac. Lifetime. You've been saved your whole life. Still on Similac. I would still say you're still on Mama, but I'm not going to go there. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge, experiential knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How can you have experience? You got to have a relationship. This Christian journey is about a relationship. It's not about what I can do, but about what we can do. Because if you're on your own and you got God with you, that's enough to carry you through. You got to have a relationship. A baby needs love and security. They know the father. They are totally dependent on others. They leave a mess everywhere they go, sometimes a big old mess. They can easily be led astray, so they must be covered. A new babe in Christ can be persuaded by every which way the wind may blow. I've been there. And I shouldn't testify, but I'm going to. I recall when I got saved, when I gave my life back to Christ. I was saved, but I had been strayed. Hey, Lord, have mercy. For a long time. But I went back to Christ, and I loved rap music. Not the worst rap music, but some rap music. I recall coming out of the church, and as soon as I got in my little 1991 Firebird with them 15s in the back, I didn't cut it up loud in front of the church. But Sir Mix-a-Lot went straight in. Boom, boom, boom. Straight out of church. But I was saved and satisfied. Did not see spiritual growth because I wasn't looking for it. But I came to know during that journey that I had been saved for 37 years at the time. And did not know the difference between sinner and sinning. Because we all are sinners, right? No, we're not. We may all sin and fall short of God's glory, but we're not all sinners. For my life, I thought I was still a sinner because people said it. I just listened to what they said. I didn't study to see if it was true. How can you be sinner and saved at the same time? That's sort of oxymoronic, isn't it? It's impossible to do. So ask yourself a question. Am I growing? Don't answer that out loud. Well, here are a few indications that you may need more time with the Lord. You only come to church on Sunday thinking, what can I get out of this? As soon as you leave Sunday service, you United Postal Service, you leave out of here talking about Pastor Love didn't preach like I wanted to. Him too. I didn't get nothing out of that. Wasn't nothing in there for me. But what did you bring? What did you bring? Forsake not the assembling of yourself together with believers. If we're going to assemble, you bring something, I bring something, we get something. One minus one equals zero. So if I bring and you take away, we leave with nothing. Bring something, you can get something. You make a lot of noise in church, complain about everything, especially when your personal needs are not being met. I'm testifying again. I led a song at one time, and I was proud of that song. That was my favorite song, and they told somebody else to sing that song. And I'm going to put myself here so I don't have to put you there. And I had my lip poked out the whole song. I'm going to sing a little background. But God, you know, he arrested me right then and said, nothing here belongs to you. Matter of fact, your name is not Marvin Sapp anyway. You ain't getting no kind of money for that song. So why are your lips poked out? And I learned from that day that I was immature. Come on. You would go off in a hot minute, even when it's your fault. Why are you bumping to me? Why are you sitting in my seat? Anybody been there? Y'all got some assigned seats in the church? I better fix that before I get in trouble. Some people got assigned seats. The only way we can define you is what you cannot do. You cannot submit to others. You cannot apologize for being wrong. You cannot cooperate. And you cannot understand deep things. Why? Because you don't have no relationship. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, what work you're doing in the church, you're still in development stages. Even when you've developed, you're still being developed. You're still in the emphasis stage in this case, and you need to spend some more time with the Lord. Not at church, Don't try to come in here, Pastor Love, on Bible study and Sunday, he really give me enough for the week. I come in midweek and I get my strength for the rest of the week. This thing that we're talking about is an individual race. You got to get your own. God wants to talk to you. My final point, and I might make it out on time, Dr. Love. My final point is spiritual growth. I'm sorry, that's my second point. But it still might make it out on time. Young men, 1 John chapter 2, 13a and 14b. It said, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abided in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You're growing, but you're in conflict and battle. Trying to do the right thing, but wrong is all around you. Have you noticed when you first got saved, how you got saved and you was maturing in Christ, and it looked like the enemy stayed around you? He always wanted to come around. He knew what you used to do. Hey, brother, you want some of that Hennessy? I know I'm talking to myself right now. Hey, well, I can't. This ain't me for real. Hey, you want some of that weed? That ain't me. So, but I mean, some of the stuff that I can talk about is me because I was there. And they said, what you got to drink in the house, man? I got some Kool-Aid and some Pepsi. All right, bro, we'll holler at you. Pastor Love said earlier, you're talking about a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Talking about, we have a friend in Christ. No matter what you've done wrong or what you're doing wrong, God is still there. He's still there to support your journey because he knows there's a journey. If you were going to get saved and be super saved on Monday, saved today, super saved tomorrow, come on, that ain't realistic. That's like steroids. It ain't real. And it's going to deflate. You swole up, but it's going to go back down because you're not saved. Ye have overcome the wicked one. The enemy is pushing and he's pulling and he's tugging. He wants you. Why? Because he's by himself now. But you got to be strong and very courageous. You got to speak up for who you say you are. You got to believe in yourself first. If you don't believe in you, why would I believe in you? The word of God has to abide and rule inside of you. You have to really, really overcome the wicked one. At this level of spiritual maturity, many Christians simply give up. Man, it's too hard, man. It's too hard. Man, the more I try, look like every time I do right, somebody got me doing wrong. That's your doing wrong. Spend more time with him. He'll give you more strength. God will keep you at this level until you progress. You want to be the pastor of the church. But soon as somebody says, hey, man, I got a little hint. Oh, hey, bro, I might have skipped Sunday service, man. What time are you coming up? But you want to be the pastor. You want to be a deacon. You want to be an usher. You want to be in charge of something. But you're still holding on to your past life. I'm going to go ahead and say it. If Teddy was here, he'd say, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. We must never cease to be reminded that all attacks don't come from the enemy. Sometimes God permits things in your life because he want to test you. He want to make sure you're true to who you say you are. First of all, he already know. He already know, but he wants you to know. I thought I had it all together. Let me testify again. I thought I had it all together. But when that sister gave my song away, I've been faithful. I'm at every rehearsal. I'm early. I'm on the praise seat. That ain't none of your song. Anybody beside me stayed in their teenager years for 30 years? I was a teenager for 30 years. I'm still trying to get promoted. This stage can really be overwhelming, but because you have a zeal of Christ, but it's not according to knowledge. And the only way you can get the knowledge is you got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that rightly divide the word of truth. You got to get enough of yourself and make sure when they speak, you got to be more noble than those in Thessalonians. You got to go home to make sure what they said is true. Not what I say, what he say. Pastors and preachers, and I'm going to put it out there. We so articulate, we can make the word say what we wanted to say. If you've been on the internet later, they're talking about Ruth was a lesbian. First of all, what difference would it make? How many years has that been? Now you're trying to use that to build up your relationship, your lifestyle. It's okay because it's in the Bible. Stop it. Stop it. You can go to the greatest schools, obtain every degree you want to, be cum laude this and have plaques and all that stuff on your wall. But if God didn't call you to be something, don't do it. Don't do it. Jeremiah 3:15 denotes the fact that God will give you pastors according to his own heart that is charged to feed you. He's charged to lead you with knowledge and understanding. So many churches are in critical condition today because the pastor was thirsty. And he just went. God didn't call him, he just went. So you got to be very curious when you walk into a body of church, believers. And I watched you, New Living Faith, because I'm proud to say y'all serve a man of God, serve God that served you. So you can see, I don't want to use this pyramid effect, but you can see the flow from him up to God and back down to you. And I can see the evidence in the building. So I might not be talking to you, but somebody need to hear this. God wants you to do more. I see pastors, I see preachers, I see deacons, I see ushers. I see evangelists, I see worshipers, I see praise warriors, I see teachers, I see so much in this body of believers. However, for you to get to where you got to go, you got to go down so you can look up and God will talk to you. There's so many things that God plans to do in this body of believers. But if you're not ready, you might get left. And you're going to be doing like I did. Why is he singing my song? All excited about ministry, but make full proof of that ministry. Don't be persuaded by man. Make sure God himself has called you to do whatever office that you walk into. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 read, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist." Make, this is a important word, make full proof of your ministry. Full proof. Don't just check on it a little bit. I think he called me to, I'm curious about it at least. I like it. I love the way Pastor Love do it. I love the way Sister Jackie Love do it. Can I call him what I call him? I like the way Pebby do it. I like the way Jackie do it. And I do literally love his ministry. I love his gift of exhibition, I'm going to say it that way. How he can take comical events and bring it to the church. That's a gift. And y'all know why he got that? I'm going to tell you in a minute. Don't give up. Don't move out on God's timing. Don't move out of God's timing. Important. Don't move out of God's timing. If God has told you some stuff and showed you some stuff, don't you just leave and move out because God said, "Do it." God has showed you. He showed you, but he hadn't told you to do it yet. Sometimes he shows you things afar off. This is where I'm leading you if you're listening. This is where I'm leading you if you're abiding in my word. This is where I'm leading you, and you will get to if you listen. What God has for you is for you. Can't nobody take it away from you. So don't worry about it because you don't have it right now. It's here waiting on you. Now is spiritual maturity or fathers. 1 John chapter 2 verses 13a said and 14a, "I write unto you fathers." This is where we want to be. "Because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." Teenagers have seen God do things and know of him, but fathers know him. How do we know him? That's the question. Because we have a relationship with him. The difference between a spiritually mature Christian and somebody else is a spiritually mature guy know God. And when he's sitting in church on Sunday and the pastor or the preacher is preaching, he's taking notes. And God is speaking through the word of God, telling him something may not be what's coming across the pulpit. Because you got a relationship. That thing you were talking to me about, I'm going to give it to you while the pastor's preaching. So that's when you take notes and say what God is saying to you is for you. You write it down. Yes, you heard the pastor preaching. Yes, it blessed your soul. But what you came to get is what God has for you. Anything that you do in the body, in the church, if you're singing songs, I like to say melodies from heaven. When I'm singing, I'm not singing to you. I hate to say that. Whatever I'm doing, I'm not doing it to you. This thing is vertical. That's why they said melodies from heaven. No matter what I sound like when I sing up to God, when it come back down, the anointing breaks the yoke. The sound is not what really matters. The Spirit of God is what makes the difference. So whatever you do in the church, don't try to do it so I can say, well, that boy should have preached that. Oh, Lord, he's showing up saying, oh, look at that good voice. But what did you leave with? If you're talking about that on Sunday and not talking about it on Monday, it was just a good voice. You want to leave with something that impacts your life forever. You want to leave with the Spirit of God saying, man, I know one thing. I don't know what she got, but I need to do better. Because I want to get whatever it is she got, I need that. Whatever it is he has, I need that. At this level of spiritual maturity, woo-wee, you think the enemy came in at the teenager? He coming to get you. Rumors, rumors, rumors. Sometimes true. But many times, people will take the pastor. Pastor Love, I'm going to call him the mature because I, in my heart of hearts, I believe that to be fact. They'll take the pastor and put him out there. He saw somebody break down on the side of the road. It's pouring down raining. It's 10 degrees. They got a flat. It's a female and two babies. He stopped to help them. Oh, Pastor Love was out there on the street with that woman. Come on now. But that's just the enemy. And God didn't say it was going to be easy. To whom much is given, much is required. So you have to be strong enough to know who you are in God. And don't allow the enemy to make you jump on his side. It's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. For your hearing, I'll only be reading two verses. That's 9 and 10. And it reads, but as is it written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, why is he speaking to Pastor Love like he is? Because he love him. He don't just talk about him on Sunday. He love him. He meditate on his word both day and night. And he's like that tree planted by the waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his time. And whatsoever he do prosper because God is his friend. He said that earlier. And he is God's friend. And when you become a relational person with God, I have not seen, ear have not heard. Live in faith. I have not seen, ear have not heard the things that God has prepared for this body. He plans to explode this thing. But you got to get a relationship with them. Don't depend on the teacher. Study for yourself. Talk to God. He got something for you. Verse 10 reads, but God has revealed them unto his by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Yeah. Now, I'm telling you about me. I know I was shallow when I would listen to pastors preach and they pull up something out of that text. I said, where he get that from? The deeper you go, the more God will show you. The more he can tell you, the more you can be receptive of. Because sometimes God will tell you some stuff. You say, that ain't true. Because you don't have the relationship that you need to have. Even at that stage when you're spiritually mature, guess what? You still need growth and maturity. Yes. Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Next one. And all things are of Christ who reconciled himself together. Well, that ain't on my text, so I'm going to leave it alone. But all things are still of Christ. Everything that you do in Christ is progressive. It's progressive. He did not save you to be satisfied. He did not save you to sit. He saved you to progress, to grow, to mature. Spiritual growth is of essence if you want to make the church what God has called it to be. Let the church be the church. And the only way we can do that is to spend time with the Lord. Not again. I'm not saying don't come to Bible study. Don't make sure I fix this. I'm definitely not saying don't come to Sunday worship experience. But try to make it to the meditation before service.
Yeah.
Try to come in and see what God is saying before service.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, before you come to the meditation before service, get your meditation before the meditation. So whatever God has to say to you, oh man, I recall this was a couple of weeks ago. I was singing in the church and the pastor hadn't been there for a couple of weeks. And I was singing a song and God spoke some stuff inside of me. And you know, sometimes the Holy Ghost gets you and you say stuff you didn't plan on doing today. But the Holy Ghost got inside of me and I began to say stuff that was in his message and I hadn't talked to him. Didn't even know where he was preaching coming from. And my wife said he was up there weeping. But God has a way of confirming to you what he wants you to say to his people. Thank you, Pastor Love, for the earlier welcoming your little big brother. Because I love Christ it's with my whole heart. There's no doubt. I don't have no issues with that. People may doubt it. I don't get mad much. I don't like that. I used to like getting mad. I did. Because people would try to take advantage of you because you don't. But, I mean, don't let this calm spirit or meekness call me weak. Probably that enough have to come out. My brothers and sisters, we must desire to have developed with Christ. I mean, we really must. Living Faith, this is one of the most amazing places I've ever worshipped. And I'm not saying that because I'm here. I'm saying it because the first day I set eyes on, we walked in this place at the first, what was the first place building over there off? Yeah. The first time I walked in there, I got jitters. And I'm being honest, I got jitters. And I said, Lord Jesus. That's because the Spirit had overtaken the place. And every time we came up here on our anniversary, we would take our anniversary and spend time with you guys. Because we couldn't get no greater love on this side. I mean, the people loved on us so much. So much. And we really are eternally grateful for it. So when I look back over my life and I think of my youth, as a child, I used to watch this thing that said, the few, the proud, the Marines. The few, the proud, the Marines. In middle school, or junior high school back in my day, I would see the soldier and I said, man, I want to be one of those. Pretty smart little kid, but for some strange reason, I wanted to be a soldier. All throughout high school, I kept saying, I want to be a soldier. Soon as I graduated, matter of fact, at 16 years old, I enlisted. Couldn't go because mama wouldn't sign the paper. But I enlisted to be a soldier. When I joined the military, the Marine Corps was tough. I'm not going to tell you no tale. It was tough. But I remember being a private, and I said, I'm going to be the best private the military ever seen. I'm going to. And I would watch the sergeants and the NCOs. I would watch them, and I found out there was inconsistencies. You had some that did right, but you had some that did right in front of people and wrong behind people. And you had some that was just blatantly wrong. So I vowed to myself at that time, I would never, ever be that way. As I progressed through the ranks, I never forgot the fact that I was always once spiritually immature. I was a private. I never forgot the fact. Now, I was beginning to get knowledge at this time, but I was still a private. Because I didn't get demoted, I got promoted. And I progressed up the rank. I was respected by my peers, my leaders. But even the more those that worked for me, because I never let them see me treat them like other people would treat their soldiers. When God starts promoting you in this building, and he will, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget where you came from. God has a plan with your name on it. So walk out by faith. If he's speaking to you, don't hide it. Don't run from it. I ran and God opened my mouth and made me say some things that hold up. God, is that me talking? Pastor, get up and preach. I said, I can do that. No, I can't. But God has a way of introducing you to yourself. He wants spiritual maturity. He wants you to grow. But more importantly, he wants you to mature. Don't stay there if you're still a spiritual baby. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I got to do better. I wasn't saved to sit. I'm not going to sit on this mourning bench for 5 more years. I've given my life to Christ. I got my license. I passed the test. But I need to get it together. When you was a child, you spake as a child. You understood as a child. But now you should be grown. You should be ready for the meat of the word. According to my military relationship, I had took a sabbatical even then, but God took his life, took care of my life. I had a soldier that came to me and said, son, you need to go to church. Now, at that time, they could call me for the Hennessy and I would go to it. Y'all got a problem with people telling the truth. let me tell the whole truth. But, and I knew a few words that were not good to use in church. Matter of fact, I knew so many of them, I don't think I had a sentence without one in it. Why are you so angry? This is a Christian sister told me. But it pole vaulted me into a new experience. I went to church and realized the thing that I was missing out of my life for my whole life was him. Had a lot of things, but it was empty because I didn't have him. If you don't have him, this is a mighty good time to get him. Why? Because he will walk with you. He'll talk to you. He'll show you things that you could not have seen without him. God has a plan for you. And again, your name is on it. I can't take it from you. Dr. Love can't take it from you. Living Faith can't take it from you. You got to go get your you. Go get your you. I'm from Memphis, too. Let me say, go get your you. You have to go get it. If you don't go get it, it's just going to sit there. And God can't promote you out of something that you don't know you need to get out of. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you don't move from immaturity, your immature state. But I'm saying if you want more, you got to go get more. And when I leave this pulpit, I want you to say one thing about Minister Higginbottom. Hey, check this out. That brother might have not hooped. And I'm thankful to be here today. I'll tell you, on Wednesday, I was telling Jackie I was going to call and said I couldn't make it. I guess they said something about a whooping cough. I don't know what I had. I had a real bad cough and sneezing and runny nose and all stopped up. And I said, Lord, what is the enemy doing? But he didn't want me to be here. Right. But God knew in eternity's past that thing would pass over. Yeah. And one of the major reasons was I had a message that I didn't want to preach. I don't want to make nobody mad at me. I want to come in here with a feel-good message. This is a celebratory moment. I want a feel-good message. And I hope you feel good knowing God has a plan for you. Yeah. With your name on it. So now when you praise, when you worship, make it vertical. Don't worry about who's sitting on your left or on your right. They're going to talk about you anyway. But make sure when they talked about you, you're in a worship experience with the Lord. And it's not about them anyway. So I don't see faces. I tell my wife, she said, do you be nervous? I said, yeah. But I'm being nervous because I have a reverential fear for the Lord. It could be one person. It could be 1,000 people. It's never, ever about y'all. No matter how much I say I love you, the Bible declares that I must love God so much, but it appears that I hate my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, myself, even you, if I want to be his disciple. And that's what you're living to do. You want to be a disciple for Christ. You want to walk in a room, and when you walk in that room, the whole aura of the room changes because his presence walks in. Listen, darkness and light can't dwell in the same place. You see people start walking away. You know where they're walking away? They can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth. And the Bible says, he is the truth, the light. And if the word of God abide in you, you are walking in truth. Listen, we are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hidden. You're the salt of the earth. Let's savor this world. Don't be too salty, but don't be so bland. Be who God has called you to be. Walk it out by faith. Trusting that God is going to lead you and guide you to wherever you need to be. It's always all about him, never ever about us. He has a plan, he has a remedy, and he has a cure. When you can't hear him, when you can't trace him, when you can't feel him, still trust him. Still trust him. He wants you to experience life and life more abundantly. He don't want you to be caught out there by yourself saying, what must I do? He don't want you to be dependent on nobody else. He wants you. He wants you to want him. He wants you to be a friend to him. All over the building, let us pray. Father, we acknowledge your presence in this building today. We thank you for who you are and whose we are. We thank you, Lord God, for how you've kept us in spite of us. We thank you, Father God, for how you've looked over our lives, even when we didn't pay attention to you. We thank you, Father God, for the word of God, oh, Father God, that dwelled richly in this place. We pray, Father God, that the people leave this place not as they came, Father God, but refreshed, revived, and renewed, ready to do more for you. We pray even now, Lord God, that you would expand this territory, Father God. Make known your place, your presence in this place, Lord God. Create, oh, Father God, not, Lord Jesus. Remake, oh, Father God, Lord Jesus. Bring to fruition, Father God, the things that you have in this building, Father God, the men and women of God that will be who you've called them to be, Father God. So Pastor Love will be the senior pastor, and you have a second pastor and a third pastor, because the ministry is standing on your promises, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do. We thank you for what you have done. But we thank you, Father God, for right now in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Do what only you can do in this place, Father God. Elevate, elevate, elevate in this place right now, Jesus. In the powerful name of Jesus, I do pray. It's for his name's sake, because he's worthy. He alone is to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.